We're going to share with you the beginning of a conversation we had with Dr. David Levering Lewis, who, because this is the 145th birthday, yesterday was, of the birth of W.E.B. Du Bois, one of the great Americans to live, and a founder of the NAACP and more. And Dr. David Levering Lewis is a two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the two volumes on Du Bois' life. He's a Julius Silver University professor of history at New York University, author of many books, including this two-volume Life and Times of W.E.B. Du Bois, biography of race, 1868 to 1919, and the fight for equality and the American century, 1919 to 1963. This is the two parts of a conversation I had with him late last week. We're going to play the whole thing for you this week. We want you to get a taste of this because we're honoring Dr. Du Bois. So let me start. This is, I think that, you know, when you think of W.E.B. Du Bois, at least popularly, we think of his quotes about the 20th century being the century of race. We think about his comments about the talent and 10th. But Dr. David Levering Lewis, that just doesn't really, I mean, that's the kind of popular sense we get when you hear the man's name. But as you obviously have done in these two volumes, there's much greater depth to him and complexity to him.
Yes, certainly. So it's true that those taglines are what people immediately think of Du Bois when they hear. I suppose, though, you ask yourself the question: what would Du Bois think of the validity of that statement about the problem of the 20th century in the 21st century? I think it's both inescapable and appropriate to ask how that famous statement holds up in what has been described by some as a post-racial era, one certainly startlingly different from what Du Bois would have anticipated when we think of the presidency. I've thought a fair amount about the utility, the validity of the indictment of the 20th century as racist in terms of today's situation. I think that when you go back and read what Du Bois said around that statement, you would find it applicable, because what he was really talking about was the circumstances that are economic and political that result in the adverse impact upon the life opportunities of people of color or people of other descriptions who have great difficulty staying on the escalator of success in American society. And certainly race remains an element in that quest for success and prosperity and livelihood. But equally important and perhaps more important is the way in which the color-coded inheritance of race functions in the 21st century, when in fact the institutional disabilities around race have been dismantled formally, although they live on and with some vitality, but where it is the maldistribution of the goods of the society and the maldistribution of the wealth of the society that really are significant and are to be appreciated in terms of the meaning that Du Bois would, I think, give today to his prophetic judgment.
Here you have W.E.B. Du Bois, who from the beginning was a Pan-Africanist. Many people call him the father of the Pan-African movement globally. Whether it was the founding of NAACP, the conferences that he went to in Europe, the people he met, to his ending his life in Ghana, being welcomed by Kwame Nkrumah, who was the embodiment of modern Pan-Africanism in many ways. But it was also that period from the 30s on when he began studying Marx, when Ralph Bunche was studying Marx, and people don't think about that in terms of Ralph Bunche, but how he ended up taking Marx in terms of his economic analysis and adding to it the complexity of race in America, but led him to be a Marxist, which is where he, and ending his days that way as well, kind of marrying his Marxism and Pan-Africanism and dying in Ghana after being attacked by American government for being a communist earlier. So could you talk to that a bit about that? Can we just conclude a bit about talking about that whole kind of arc of his life?
Well, I think you describe it quite well. He does find that Marx, analytically, clears up the morass around race relations quite handsomely. But as you say, he's aware that the Marx as a tool of analysis is great insofar as it goes. However, it doesn't address race. Now, Marxists would vehemently deny that, but it's simply true,
right,
that it is that economic prosperity does not necessarily lead to racial opportunity. Mm. It does not have to do that. South Africa, while apartheid existed, is an example of the two-track economics of a society where race is embedded and you get a Herrenvolk democracy. And that's what he saw happening with the American labor movement, that until the late 1930s, when the CIO edged aside the AFL in its organizing activities throughout the South, there Du Bois was heartened because he could see that a social democracy in which race was recognized as an element was a possibility. The problem was, as he saw it, that opportunity, which came in the mid-40s, was ended in 1948 by the pivotal election of that year. The defeat of Henry Wallace's Progressive Party ended the kind of social democracy momentum that Du Bois thought he saw on the left. To a great degree, it was, because from that time on, a new term describes what is going on when it comes to race relations in America: Cold War civil rights. Mm. And that is, as A. Philip Randolph famously said, it's hard enough to be black, it's just death to be red. And so the black civil rights movements, whether they should have been more courageous or not, you can debate, but they trimmed their sails. They cut off their interest in Pan-Africanism. They were cautious about critiquing American foreign policy. The expression was, the criticism of America stops at the water's edge. Mm-hmm. You could only press for civil rights if J. Edgar Hoover couldn't call you a communist. Mm. And that, and I'm burlesquing the situation, it was more complex than that, but within that dichotomy, Du Bois couldn't fit. He couldn't trim his sails. There was no left he could see that was going to survive, he thought. So he made the decision to be part of the global movement that early on he had anticipated as being crucial to civil rights advancement, and that was the empowerment of people of color globally. And so off to Ghana.
That was part of the conversation we had with Dr. David Levering Lewis, who is one of the most brilliant men in our academic world. He is a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner for the books he wrote on W.E.B. Du Bois, one called W.E.B. Du Bois' Biography of a Race, 1868 to 1919, and The Fight for Equality in the American Century, 1919 to 1963. And we'll be hearing more from Dr. David Levering Lewis, the Julius Silver University Professor and Professor of History at New York University, as we play the entire interview for you. Very soon, later this week or early next week, we'll be playing that whole interview with you. We did this one now because yesterday was the 145th anniversary of the birth of William E.B. Du Bois, one of the most significant Americans in our modern history, founder of the NAACP, radical and fighter for social justice, who died in Ghana at the age of 95 as everybody else was marching in Washington, D.C., at the March on Washington in 1963. So we have to, we celebrate these anniversaries with all of us because we think it's important to share our history and keep it alive as we grow as human beings. And I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org, or you can go to 877-462-7555. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer this evening is Regis Tucker, though Marcella's bassman Shepard filled in for the first hour and a half of the show. Our intern is Lila Warshaw. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, find out information about our guests and the work that they do, please visit us on our website at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.